other conditions. The McCain-Kennedy bill does have strong Democratic backing and some Republican support, but the backers say they don't have the 60 votes needed to force it through if there were a filibuster against it. Condi Rice asking Congress to approve a nuclear pact with India. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice trying to reassure members of Congress about a deal to share nuclear technology with India. In testimony before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee today, Rice urged Congress to approve the controversial plan. She says it will not lead to an arms race in South Asia, though lawmakers from both parties point out it does not stop India from building more nuclear weapons. Rice had some exchanges with Democrat Barbara Boxer, who says she's concerned about military contacts with Iran and India. Joe Biden and John Kerry also expressed reservations. For the first time, members of the public will hear the cockpit recorder from United Airlines Flight 93. A federal judge ruling the jury considering whether to execute Zacharias Moussaoui can hear the tape. That jetliner, of course, crashed in Pennsylvania on September 11th. An expert says the video that Iraqi militants claim shows an American pilot's burning body does appear to be authentic. The military contractor assesses statements and videos from militant groups. He says he doesn't think some conflicting time code stamps in the video are a strong indicator of lack of credibility. He says the operator may have just set the camera improperly. The blurry video shows militants dragging a body but doesn't show details of the face. Surgeons reattached a piece of Ariel Sharon's skull today, a day after delaying the procedure. The piece had been removed after the Israeli Prime Minister's throat 3 months ago so doctors could operate on his brain. The hospital saying the surgery today was a success. Sharon in critical but stable condition. This is Air America Radio News.
You know, LASIK surgery is an interesting, it's interesting to think about.
Yeah, you know, when you're having sex and you want to think about something so that, you know, it doesn't end quicker than it should, think about LASIK surgery. Oh, my God. Good evening, Two Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thank you for joining us this evening. We have, yes, we have moron sounds for you tonight from Minimind. He was in Connecticut today, as we mentioned last night, speaking to healthcare professionals. That's right. He sat up on the stage there with healthcare professionals explaining to them all the ins and outs of his wondrous and magical health savings account plan. Oh, my God. You're going to like it. I swear to God. You know, I don't have the comedy writers that Al Franken has or Randy Rhodes has, but we have George Bush. And by God, that will beat any combination of comedy writers that anyone else on this network has, including Marc Maron. We have George W. Bush. He's talking up his health savings accounts. He's comparing them to buying a used car and how we can earn cash interest-free in health care should and how health care should be transparent so we can all see the price. That's how he talks. Oh, and we have a couple other things, including the comments from Chris Matthews to Tom DeLay when they thought the microphone was off on MSNBC. Was it yesterday? Chris Matthews, I'm surprised he didn't put a bib on before he went through this little routine with Tom DeLay. Oh my God, you talk about doing for Tom what Monica did for Bill Clinton. It's astonishing. Astonishing how incestuous this group of be careful now, Mike. The program's only 8 minutes in, and you're getting ready to use weird language. Now, I'll just play it for you here in a second. The big news today, of course, is nothing from the Middle East, nothing about global warming or environmental disaster. Has nothing to do, really, with these healthcare magical rabbit in the hat things of Bush. Really doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in Massachusetts with their decision to mandate health insurance, I should say. By the way, that is a joke. It's a bad joke on the people of Massachusetts. But we are desperately trying to find some solution to the healthcare mess. So, you know, it's being touted by media as, oh, a miracle arising from Massachusetts. Oh, we'll talk about that in a second. But the big story today, the one that overrode everything else, and you know what I'm talking about, Katie Couric is ending 12, 13, 18, 30, whatever it's been, years at NBC, and she's going to CBS to be an anchor person. Oh, thank God. This does it not speak volumes. This is what we talk about every night, either directly or indirectly. The vapidity, the innocuousness, the uselessness, the vacuum-packed production of network news and cable news in this country. Katie Couric is an entertainer. The only thing that I ever found interesting that she did in all her years at NBC Today Show was when I got to travel up her colon and watch while they looked for polyps. That was a real treat. Oh, my God! So they're taking somebody. This is it. Somebody from the entertainment business, Katie Couric. Bless her heart. I have nothing against Katie Couric. I think she's just a widow sweetie. She's just a widow sweetie. I really do think she's just a widow sweetie. She really is. There's nothing. Who's the woman on with Regis Philbin in the morning? Who is that woman?
Kelly Ripa.
You know, all of these entertainment women. They're very charming. They do what they're supposed to do. It's a little bit of fluff, a little bit of cotton candy. Sorry, that's the way it is. A little bit of cotton candy. You know, you have the old guy sitting there, Regis Philbin, and then you have Fluff. You have Kelly Ripa. And every man who watches that program, and I don't know if there are very many, but you know what you're thinking when you're watching Kelly Ripa and Regis Philbin. You know what you're thinking. Don't deny it. But Katie Couric, I swear now, and it was mentioned on all three networks, like, "Hi, Katie, welcome to the news crew. We're really happy to have you." What's your name? Who's the anchor woman on ABC? What's your name? Vargas.
Elizabeth
Vargas, right. She mentions it. Did they mention it over it on Brian, what's Brian's name? NBC,
Brian Williams.
See, I'm sorry. Did they mention Brian Williams? I know Wolf talked about it, right?
Bob Schieffer mentioned it.
Bob Schieffer had a segment all his own, a taped segment. And Katie Couric, it's not just she's going to be the anchor. Oh, thank God she's going to be the anchor. Now I feel better. She's also going to be the managing editor of the CBS Nightly News. Oh, for Christ's sake. Never mind. I just had to get that out. So that's the big story today here in La La Land. Here in the land of the most over-entertained and under-informed population ever to congregate on Turtle Island. I don't know. It's so bad. How long is that Chris Matthews time delay thing, Kathy? Okay, let's go ahead and play it. It's not really astonishing. It isn't. You can almost hear Chris Matthews wiping his chin when this is over. It's just awful. This is Chris Matthews displaying how grateful he was for getting Tom DeLay to call him last night or the other night and say, "Chris, I'm out of here." You know, and what DeLay might think about Hillary Clinton and so on and so forth. Just play it. Now they think the mic is off, which it isn't.
Hey, thank you for calling me.
Well,
it was a good thing for me, honestly.
Was it?
Oh, of course it was. We got on the air as fast as we could.
Yeah, well,
you didn't know there wasn't any bad. If Shannon had told me there was an embargo, I would have honored it, but I didn't.
She told me. I told him. I didn't tell you that.
I didn't get any embargo, but you just said to me, if you're on the morning news tomorrow morning, this is something you can use, which is fine. But she called me and said, "Don't worry, he's not going to complain." Have you seen this new focus group stuff on the candidates?
No, I haven't.
Great stuff.
Really?
I'll send it to you. It's great. Yeah, it's great stuff.
Really?
Hillary, John Kerry, all these guys, all Democrats.
How
they do. And
the
Frank Luntz did it. And Hillary did not do well.
Really?
Kerry did well.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. They didn't like Edwards. They thought he was a rich lawyer pretending to care about poor people.
Yeah.
Hillary was know-it-all. I don't know what...
Nothing just worse than a woman who is.
Thanks. I owe you one. I owe you two.
No, you don't.
Today and last night. No, I didn't.
I appreciate
I owe you one. Owe you two. Anything you want me to do. Nothing like an uppity woman, huh? You know the only thing worse than an uppity woman is an uppity black woman like Cynthia McKinney. An uppity know-it-all woman. Uppity know-it-all. It all means the same, right? But there he is, down on his knees. Under the desk to Tom DeLay. Thanks, Tom. God, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you for calling me and not that ass Scarborough. Thank you. And thanks for not going to Fox News. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. Listen, I'll email you something, booby. Kiss, kiss. Lick, lick. Blah, 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 blah. Give me a hug. Give me a hug. Give me a hug. Come on, give me a hug. Come on. Give me a hug. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Tom. Ow! You didn't see the survey? Oh, I'll send it to you, sweetie. You want me to send it to your to our private little email back and forth? Yeah, do that, Chris.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Before I almost died from a staph infection, I came close to losing my leg. Before I came close to losing my leg, I started living on the streets. Before I started living on the streets, I thought everyone wanted to kill me. Before I thought everyone wanted to kill me, I quit eating. Before I quit eating, I never felt so good. Before I never felt so good, I tried meth. End meth at drugfree.org/Michael. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Okay, here's something to think about. April 15th is around the corner. You only have a few days left to get your taxes done, and you don't even have an appointment at one of those tax prep stores. Don't panic. Log on to TurboTax.com. You just answer simple questions, and TurboTax fills in all the right forms. And when you're done, you can e-file and get confirmation that the IRS received your return. No wonder millions of Americans use TurboTax. And you know what? I bet a lot of them started even later than you.
TurboTax.com. Log on, and you're done.
your host for a Prince future, it's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. There's no point in dwelling on the Tweety Bird Tom DeLay story, really, Chris Matthews. But it is just further proof, if any were needed, that about the only one out there who is doing yeoman's work where it concerns reporting the news in a way that is at once acerbic, factual, and right to the nitty-gritty is Keith Olbermann. Can you think of anyone else? I really can't. I just can't. I just can't. So, but in combination with Katie Couric's announcement or NBC's, or whoever the hell announced it today, I guess it was CBS, NBC, I don't know. I don't care, really. I know it sounds like I care a lot. But it's just the most glaring examples today, two examples, of how screwed we are when we rely on traditional forms of information flooding or floating into our ears. It's just gone. It's just totally gone. It's all gone. Do your own research. Become your own media. This is why the progressive blogs are so important. This is why some of the websites like Bart Kopp and Democratic Underground and Common Dreams and Buzzflash and you know who they are, Come Armageddon, all these blog sites and websites are so critically important now. Because radio, as far as talk radio is concerned, 98% of which is slush garbage out of the mouths of these right-wing beasts, and network news, network television news, network radio news, you got to do it on your own. You must do it on your own. All right, I think I've got time to do this. Cynthia McKinney's statement, she released a statement today on her website about Wednesday's confrontation, last Wednesday's confrontation with the police in Washington, D.C., Capitol Police. In that statement, she expresses regret for slapping a police officer who stopped her at a security checkpoint. McKinney admits she was not wearing a pin identifying her as a member of Congress. Channel 2 Action News, that's WSB, one of the Cox communications brain destroyers here in Atlanta, acquired a copy of McKinney's original statement that she decided against posting on her website. In the original statement, she complains that Capitol Police officers failed to recognize her, and she calls her treatment by the Capitol Police she refers to it as being harassed at work. Do I have time to do this? I don't know if I do. All right, here's the original statement in its entirety. This is Cynthia McKinney. I've served as a member of Congress for more than 11 years. Throughout my tenure in Congress, I seem to evoke memory loss, especially from certain police officers who claim not to be able to recognize my face while I go to work every day representing the people of Georgia's 4th District. Washington, D.C., and local newspapers, as well as authors of books, have carried my working while black stories of such encounters on Capitol Hill. In fact, the movie American Blackout candidly captures just such an encounter in one of its more humorous moments when, after a two-year hiatus from Congress, a black police officer recognizes me and welcomes me back to Washington, and then just across the street, a few yards away, a white police officer approaches me to ask me what office I'm with. In the film, I remark, "Something's never changed." That's what Tupac said. Sadly, there are only 14 black women members of Congress, and surely our faces are distinguishable. But why my face is continually unrecognizable can only be answered by these offending police officers. Capitol Hill police are given face recognition instructions as part of their official training. Capitol Hill police are required to recognize, greet, and distinguish members of Congress as a part of their official role and responsibilities. In fact, according to the U.S. Capitol Police, their mission is to protect and support the Congress in meeting its constitutional responsibilities. The U.S. Capitol Police mission statement makes no distinction about selective application of its mission depending upon whether a member of Congress is black, woman, or has a new hairstyle. But honestly, this incident is not about wearing a congressional pin or changing my hairstyle. It is true I have changed my hairstyle. It is true that at the time I was not wearing my pin. But many members of Congress aren't wearing their pins today. Just in the last hour, at least 8 members of Congress have been spotted speaking from the well of the House without their pins, and even more have been seen on the Hill today not wearing their congressional pin. How many of them were stopped by Capitol Hill police? Do I have to contact the police every time I change my hairstyle? How do we account for the fact
When I wore my braids every day for 11 years, I still faced this problem, primarily from certain white police officers. This morning at approximately 8:57 a.m., I was going to a budget committee meeting due to start at 9. I was rushing to my meeting when a white police officer yelled to me. He approached me, body blocked me, physically touching me. I used my arm to get him off of me. I told him not to touch me several times. He asked for my ID and I showed it to him. He then let me go and I proceeded to my meeting and I assumed that the police officer resumed his duties. I have counseled with the Sergeant at Arms and Acting Assistant Chief Thompson several times before and counseled with them again on today's incident. I offered also to counsel with the offending police officer. I've agreed to try to remember to wear my pin and to notify Capitol Hill Police every time I change my hairstyle. My father was a police officer. After the tragedies on September 11th, recognizing the strain that we are all under, I wrote a letter to Sergeant Arms Livingood reminding him the police officers were operating under great stress while working long hours. It is, however, a shame that while I conduct the country's business, I have to stop and call the police to tell them I've changed my hairstyle so that I'm not harassed at work.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
The lies, incompetence, greed, and pure stupidity of the Bush crime family are all revealed in the game Impeached. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. And if you despise this crime family like I do, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy the only board game that's bold enough to tell it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com, buy your game, and check out the Bush, Satan Rove, and Deadeye Dick voodoo dolls. I've got my game, and I'm sticking pins in my Bush voodoo doll right now! So visit ImpeachBushGame.com and join in on the fun today. Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour, and this last thing I'm going to say about the Cynthia McKinney thing, it's I guess it's going to be presented to a grand jury. This is insane. George W. Bush can condemn 200,000 people to their deaths, and he's being whatever he's being. Cynthia McKinney slapped some cop's hands off of her body, and it's going to a grand jury. I want you to remember something, okay? If we can probably dig up the sound on it, and we may do it later on this week, but when Cynthia McKinney, sitting on that House committee, the House Armed Services Committee, I believe it was, grilling these mass killers, Donald Rumsfeld, General Myers, and a couple of the other generals who were sitting there, and Cynthia McKinney sat there and asked questions about the DynCorp slave rings, the money missing from the Pentagon, the war games that were occurring on September 11, 2001, on and on and on and on. I don't care how big of a joke Jon Stewart makes of her. I don't care what Jay Leno says. Cynthia McKinney has been on the hit list ever since she came back to Congress and decided, no, she wasn't going to be a nice little Negro girl and just sit there and be happy that she had a job as a member of Congress. She went back to kick ass and take names, and she's about the only one on that House committee that asked the questions that needed to be asked. And if you'll remember, the looks on the faces of people like Donald Rumsfeld, who was assisting in mass murder plots when Cynthia McKinney was still in high school, and he has to sit there and answer questions from this arrogant Negro woman who happens to be a member of the United States Congress. So go ahead. Whoever wants to, play with Cynthia McKinney. Play with her. Denigrate her. Make her appear to be some arrogant snot. Go ahead. Fall into the trap. I've been reading emails about, oh, Cynthia McKinney she couldn't have given the Republicans a better president. What the hell is wrong with you people? Don't you understand yet how the Bush crime family works? Cynthia McKinney stuck her head up. And she asked the wrong questions. I'm going to move on. I don't want to talk about it. For Christ's sake, don't send me emails about Cynthia's mistakes. Don't send me links to Jon Stewart's program. Don't send me information about what Jay Leno jokes about her. Not interested. Not going there. I'm not a sucker. All right. Bush, sitting there on a panel on health savings accounts, Bridgeport, Connecticut, today. Now, before Chuckle Nuts started rambling incoherently about his health care savings account plan, which apparently doesn't even make sense to him, he revisited one of his favorite topics, and that's the need to get everyone's medical data into computer files. He is fixated on this. Now, you got to wonder why he's so fixated on having a national database of everyone's medical records. Don't you? I mean, don't you ever wonder that? I don't know. Is this a new game? It's probably not Bush. He doesn't give a damn. Is this something Cheney likes to do? Like Cheney likes to look at pictures of wounded American soldiers with arms and legs blown off, and Cheney likes to look at dead Iraqi babies. You know, he is the worst kind of a pervert. Is this for Cheney? So Cheney can peruse people's medical health records? But I digress. The particularly outrageous bit here is about the confusion that was avoided during Hurricane Katrina, thanks to computerized medical records.
Classic example of the importance of information technology came down there with Katrina. A lot of veterans were displaced as a result of that hurricane, but they had medical electronic records because the Veterans Administration had begun to modernize, and therefore they were able to take their medical electronics records to their destination, or where they moved to, and were able to get immediate health care.
Oh, yeah.
The records were there. They were available. The doc that they checked in with was able to access their records on a real-time basis, and were able to, so there was no kind of loss of of care. There was no confusion about what was necessary.
Oh, really? Is that what happened to veterans who were slurped into the vortex of the flooding after Katrina? Is that what happened, George? Well, I'll be double-D damned. I didn't know that. I thought there were still veterans wandering around the lower ninth, wondering where in the hell they're going to get their insulin. God, this guy irritates me. All right, I love this. Raising Brain compares his Gloria healthcare plan to purchasing an automobile. Is this really the image that he wants to give us medical healthcare consumers, that we should shop for, say, chemotherapy centers like we would haggle over a used Buick?
You know, when you go out and purchase an automobile, somebody doesn't pay the bill for you, you pay it. And you tend to shop and you look and you try to find out what's best for you.
Yeah.
The more the consumer is involved in the decision making, the more likely it is people will start making, you know, rational decisions for their own needs.
Uh-huh.
And one way to do that is the advent of health savings accounts, which is in essence a health savings account coupled with a high deductible catastrophic insurance plan. That's long word talk for if you get sick above a certain amount, your insurance pays for it. If not, you pay for it, but the savings tax free. In other words, this is an interesting way of making sure the patient and the provider are the integral deciders in healthcare decisions. If that's not clear enough, they'll help clear it up for me.
Yeah. Well, I hope somebody does. What is this? The more the consumer is involved in the decision making, the more likely it is people will start making rational decisions for their own needs. Are you presupposing, dumbass, that most people today just make crazy, reckless, irrational decisions about their own needs? I think I need a heart bypass operation. Oh, yeah? Why is that? Oh, I don't know. I've had 3 or 4 docs tell me that. Plus, every time I climb the steps, I have to sit down for 30 minutes. One good thing about health accounts, they've made improved LASIK. That's right. They've made improved. I'm just talking the way he talks. They've made improved LASIK and made it interesting.
We, LASIK surgery is an interesting, it's interesting to think about. LASIK surgery is a surgery that helps correct your eyesight. And I don't know how many years ago it was, but LASIK surgery was very expensive. But this happened to be a part of medical medicine where there really was a market.
Yeah, oh, okay.
More people began to provide LASIK surgery. People began to shop for LASIK surgery, and the cost for LASIK surgery has gone down dramatically, and the quality of LASIK surgery has improved dramatically.
Okay, well, let's all go get heart transplants. Just imagine, instead of $150,000, now we can probably, within the next 10 years, get one for $90,000. Wow! Hey, LASIK surgery is a surgery that helps correct your eyesight. Got anything that will correct stupid? Anything out there? LASIK, schmasik, anything that will correct stupid? What did he say? I don't know how many years ago it was, but LASIK surgery was very expensive. Well, never mind. Oh, God, never mind. Now, here's what we need. A nation of morons diagnosing ourselves.
Many of the health savings accounts owners are folks with a high school degree. A lot of health savings accounts owners are people with ordinary amount of income. You know, it kind of defies the concept that certain people can't make decisions on their own. You know, if you don't have a PhD, you shouldn't be allowed to decide things. People are plenty smart when it comes to their own lives and coming to make decisions about health care needs.
Oh, God. So, let me get this right. If somebody decides they need their kidney removed or wants a third limb grafted onto their backs, that would be okay in the free market of your system of medicine, as long as they had enough cash in their accounts? Is that how it works, chuckle nuts? Let's have a nation where the patient, not the physician, the patient decides what procedures are appropriate, right? You know, shopping, maybe shop online. My chest is a bit congested. I think I'll call Dial a Doc and order up a lung biopsy today. Let's see if they're running a sale here. Well, no. The wife and I are still kicking ourselves for missing last month's two-for-one angioplasty. Oh, my God. Mini Mind is suddenly obsessed with transparency. Last week he was complaining that Iran didn't have transparent nukes. Then he wanted a transparent China so he could look into. Now he wants doctors to post prices on some sort of a medical menu. Yeah, that makes sense.
Can't make good healthcare decisions unless there's transparency in the marketplace. People need to see price. One of the things we're trying to encourage is for healthcare providers to post their prices.
Oh, God.
So people can choose. So people are able to, this kind of makes sense for me. This doesn't make sense for me. Non-transparency in pricing makes it awfully hard to achieve savings. Availability means transparency in prices. Affordability means will be enhanced by transparency in pricing.
Oh, Jesus Christ! So it has nothing to do with the quality of the medical schooling of the surgeon who's about to open your chest. It's whether or not he's got a better price than the guy down at the Doc in a Box, right? We got to have transparency. We put the prices up there. Dr. A will charge $150,000. Dr. B will charge you $29.95. Well, what the hell? You're gonna go to the guy for $29.95, are you? Isn't that a better deal? Post their prices like they do at Food Giant or Macy's. 50% off sales today on arms. Come on in, folks. Come on in. We're going to be removing spleens today. Normally $150. Today, $18.95. Step right up. Hiya, hiya, hiya.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old, and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor, and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
Stepped on a pop top. Cut my heel, had to cruise on back home. But there's booze in the blender, and soon it will render that frozen concoction that helps me hang on. Wasting away again.
Oh. Remember back in the day when you could hear songs like that and just kick back and drink a little drink and... All right, last one here. Finally running out of things to stammer about and apparently getting very low on Ativan. Bush let some of the others on the stage take a turn. That was real funny. But he interrupted one of the docs, as he calls them, to offer some of his own unique clarifications about health savings accounts. You know, just in case the docs up there on the stage, some of them might not have had a high school degree, as he calls it. So George wants to take a little, let me explain to you what a health savings account is.
A health savings account is a combination of a high deductible catastrophic plan, and the deductible is a cash account that earns interest free.
What?
The cash account is, as you'll hear later on, is can be contributed by the individual, contributed by the company, can be contributed a combination of the worker and the company, can be contributed all different ways.
Right.
But the shopping around is for the cash portion of a person's account.
Okay, shopping around. All of a sudden, you feel very dizzy and nauseous, and your entire body breaks out in a cold sweat, and somebody runs up to you and says, raise your arms, and you try to raise your arms, and you can't. Then somebody says, ah, what year is it? And all you can think of is, for some reason, the 1840s. And at that moment, you have to stop and go look on the menu. Let me see. Appen. That's appendectomy, Dad. Appen. No. You don't have an appendectomy. You blah, blah, blah. I'll move on. Dad, look under S for stroke. Stir. Dad! Jesus Christ, you're about to die! Make a decision here. Which one do you want? Stir. Thud. You know, and that's it. Right? God. Where do we live? It's just unbelievable.
But see, that will never happen because, you know, people will start making rational decisions for their own needs. And you see, you have a health savings account coupled with a high deductible catastrophic insurance.
Stop.
That's long word talk. So if you get sick above a certain amount,
stop,
the insurance would pay for the stroke.
You get sick.
It's like buying a car.
You get sick above a certain amount. Please, someone tell me, what does that mean? If you get sick above a certain amount.
Well, it kind of defies the concept that certain people can't make decisions. You know, if you don't have a PhD, you shouldn't be allowed to decide things.
Stir. Be quiet, Dad. You're already dead. This is astonishing. This is what passes for a discussion on health care cost in this country, how to provide health insurance to people, how to give the 45 million of us who have no insurance, and what they're doing in Massachusetts is a total joke. What happened in Massachusetts today, or the reported today in the New York Times, oh my God, you'd think a star had appeared in the east. What happened in Massachusetts today was that the insurance companies in the hospitals just struck a vein of pure gold. And the uninsured? read the whole thing. Go back and read your New York Times story from today. Read what Governor Mitt Romney said, that, you know, the free part of it, he's probably going to veto that part of it just as soon as he can, and so on and so on. There's a very simple solution. It's called single payer. We already have the beginnings of it. It's called Medicare. It's just sitting there. It works for how many older Americans who use Medicare? How many? Huh? I'm literally asking. I have no idea. There is a secondary level to Medicare. It's called Medicaid for folks who can afford nothing. You know, the model is sitting there with some tweaking. You know, the best way to get health care into the hands of every single American and keep it affordable is to get these filthy insurance companies out of the loop. Get these filthy, rapacious, Bill Frist-style insurance companies out of the loop. Send them to hell where they belong.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors. And better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace. The helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. There appears to be a growing unhappiness among many state Homeland Security directors about their relationship with the federal government. The report says most state security chiefs are saying they are dissatisfied with the quality of intelligence that's being provided by the federal government. According to the survey, they find fault with the specificity and the usefulness or lack of the intelligence the states are getting. Last year, only about half the directors voiced similar dissatisfaction. Most apparently also believe multiple demands on National Guard forces are undermining their emergency response capabilities, a survey conducted by the National Governors Association. Congressional investigators are saying federal spending on national parks is not keeping pace with the rising cost of running them. A study of the 12 most visited national parks found that park managers are increasingly cutting back on services because of rising costs. The cuts include closing a visitor center in Virginia's Shenandoah Park, cutting staff at Wyoming's Grand Teton National Park, and decreasing law enforcement in Yellowstone. The Bush administration has increased spending on the parks, but the General Accountability Office says after inflation, the operating budget increases amount to just 1.3% a year. The House voted today to limit the multimillion-dollar donations to nonprofit groups, which changed the face of American politics during the 2004 presidential election. The Republicans said they were closing what they said was a gaping loophole. Democrats, though, portray the vote as an effort to undercut their supporters. The Republicans won the vote 218 to 209 to cap contributions to 527 political groups. The outcome, a sharp turnaround from 2002, when Republicans had resisted the Democratic-led bill to limit campaign spending. 527 refers to a section of the tax law. These groups are tax-exempt organizations that use voter mobilization and issue ads to influence federal elections. They grew very quickly after the campaign finance law in 2002 banned federal candidates and national parties from accepting unlimited donations from individuals, unions, and corporations. The new Palestinian government is facing a big problem. Prime Minister is telling his first cabinet meeting today, Hamas government has no money. Ismail Haniyeh told the group that he's appealing to Arab countries to donate more money to the Palestinians because they need it very badly. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Barb from Seattle wrote in regarding Bush's statements that we played on the program. Barb writes, Mike, where the hell is Bush coming from? Please tell me how most of us, yes, working two or more jobs, are supposed to cover all our medical care except so-called catastrophic. I see a huge loophole, Barb writes. Who determines what is or isn't catastrophic? You need a triple bypass? Oh, sorry, catastrophic starts at quad bypass. Right. And she goes on here. But the very good point that Barb is making. Who's going to decide? What nasty, pissy little gatekeeper now is going to sit there like they do at HMOs and decide whether or not, well, is this catastrophic? Well, I don't know. How many fingers did you lose? 4? Oh, damn, you just missed it by a joint. If you would have lost 4 fingers and a joint on a 5th finger, that would have been catastrophic. I'm sorry. Listen, maybe next time, okay? Bye-bye. Yes?
I just had this spooky vision of someone in the middle of a heart attack, you know, dialing up, do-do-do-do-do. Hello, welcome to your health savings account manager. I'm Tilly, the all-time teller. Press 1 if you're having chest pains.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your response. Press 2 if you can't speak. I'm sorry, I'm still not getting that. Do you need me to call an ambulance?
Yeah, that's, yeah. Press 3. Por español. What?
No habla inglés? Uno momento, si vous plaît.
I hate insurance companies because we have entered into that dark hole now of dealing with how many we got to deal with? 2, Kathy? 2 or 3 insurance companies? We got homeowners, we got car insurance because of the...
Don't get me started on the homeowners insurance.
I know. Which is my way of segueing into this. A large insurance company in Florida plans to begin canceling coverage for 140,000 Florida homeowners this summer, less than 2 months after the start of hurricane season. The company is overarching company is Atlanta Preferred Insurance Company. It will begin dropping the policies July 13th as they come up for renewal to curb losses from hurricanes in 2004-2005. Now, Atlantic, it says here, is a subsidiary of Tampa-based Poe Financial Group, which was once the third largest homeowner insurer in the state of Florida. The move comes just weeks after Poe announced that another subsidiary, Southern Family Insurance Company, would stop issuing or renewing policies in June. And it goes on and on and on. And then I hear, where did I hear it today? Did I read it someplace? Did I hear it on NPR? I don't know where I saw it, heard it. But the insurance industry as a whole, like the oil companies as a whole, have recorded record profits once again. This is a part of capitalism that makes makes people like me, like you, angry. But if you, I really don't want to get into it. This is not a consumer affairs program, but the idea that insurance companies can, with absolutely no reason. Now, if you have a mortgage, like we do, you understand that you must have homeowners insurance. You've got to have it. If you don't have homeowners insurance, no mortgage. So what's going to happen, I wonder, to these 150,000 homeowners in Florida? I would assume that a goodly percentage of them are retired folks or folks living on fixed incomes. I'm sure another insurance company will step into the breach created by these thieves, thugs, and mugs who have decided to cancel people. Another insurance company will step into the breach. Oh, excuse me, your annual premium now is 300% what your old premium was. Sorry, but you know, we had to pay money last time. We're not in the insurance business to pay money. Are you crazy? We're in the insurance business to take money, especially where it concerns health care. Oh, the past couple of years, we have had an absolute three-ring circus with our insurance company regarding little things like Molly's birth, Kathy needing medication or charges coming up. Yeah. 21 months ago, charges still popping up on Molly's delivery that are nonsensical, insane, non-existent, smoke. They never happened, never occurred. After 8, 7, 20, 35, 40 phone calls with the insurance company, we're sorry. Our mistake. They're in the business to grind you down, to not pay your claim, to suck up your premium as quickly as they can. And if you feel that fraud is being committed or stupidity, to grind you down to the point where you just say, out of hell with it, it's only $180, who cares? You know, like that.
I'm sorry, I didn't recognize your response. Please press 4 if you have a medical emergency. If you need help, hang up and dial your operator. Or press 6 if you'd like to leave me a message. Press 7. I'm sorry, I did not understand your response. Do you need a customer service representative or a paramedic?
More child sex troubles over at the Department of Homeland Security. Have you heard about this? No, not the one we talked about last night. But Frank, this is another one. Frank Figueroa, the former head of the Department of Homeland Security's program to stop child predators. I'm not making this up. Operation Predator today pleaded no contest to charges. He exposed himself to a 16-year-old girl. According to the victim, Figueroa pulled up a leg of his shorts, exposed himself, and masturbated for about 10 minutes in front of her. The man who headed the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office in Tampa, before he took over as the Department of Homeland Security's program to stop child predators, he was the head of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office in Tampa. He pled guilty to a charge he exposed himself to the girl at a food mall and then ran away when the security guard came up and said, yo, what are you doing? Hey! Figueroa originally said he was not guilty. His trial was expected to begin tomorrow. This is from the Tampa Tribune. Figueroa, once one of Florida's highest-ranking federal law enforcement officers and the former head of a national program formed to target child sex predators, was arrested October 25th at the mall at Millennia in Orlando. Back in October, but today he pled. He was charged with exposure of sexual organs and disorderly conduct, which carries potential punishment of more than a year behind bars. Sentencing hearing is tentatively scheduled for May 9th. Rachel Wright, the 16-year-old who reported the incident, said Figueroa pulled up his pants, pant leg short, blah, 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 blah. She says, I glanced once because he seemed very strange, and I caught a look at his penis. I was shocked, so I sat and thought of what I should do. Although the Tribune has a policy against publishing the names of victims in sex cases, Ms. Wright and her mother have chosen to go public. Hey, kid, ever heard of Operation Tips? Time to protect your homeland. Do your duty for America. Come here. I think there's a terrorist in my shorts. Hey, come here. What is this? Isn't that a little terrorist? Look, I'm trying to strangle him. Oh, God. So not only Brian Doyle, the information officer, whatever the hell he was, busted last night on child sex charges, this guy pleads guilty today, and he used to run Operation Predator.
What better way to get tips? Leads.
Yeah. All right. These Republicans, these sick, degenerate, filthy Republicans, they make me just want to... I don't know. It doesn't matter.
'Cause Daddy likes porno and $10 whores. Daddy gets wasted and robs liquor stores. Daddy likes rubbing against little boys on the bus. I think that's why your mommy left us.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Well, that didn't work, did it?
Need some wood?
Yeah, we need some music. 21 past the hour. All right, let's do some phone calls. You want to? I'll give you a chance to get online here. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270 is the number. And you might want to touch on what we've talked about so far on the program. All right. Let me drop this in the mix. This is from the AP also, from this morning. Thousands of voters turned out in Wisconsin to offer a purely symbolic message, bring the troops home from Iraq. Folks in that state voted on Tuesday, and by margins overwhelming in some places and narrow in others, voters in 24 of 32 communities approved referendums calling for the immediate withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. About 25,000 people voted in Madison, and 68% supported the referendum calling for a pullout. Of course, Madison is a hotbed of radical truth-seeking and liberalism, so not surprised there. But 24 out of 32 communities. Most of the referendums, it says here, asked if the voters supported withdrawing the troops immediately. And the answer came back, according to what I have here, resounding yes. I don't know how much longer the people and the leadership of the people can be so diametrically opposed on every single issue. There is nothing that the majority of Americans support this criminal enterprise on any longer. Nothing. Nothing. Not a single issue. And how long can a criminal enterprise like this continue to govern when the people are saying no to every single thing that the criminal enterprise tries to ram home in the form of legislation? Now, that's not to say that the controlling interests in the House and the Senate are not also part of that criminal enterprise. But those bastards will pay. They're going to pay in November, next election. I do. I've reached that point. I have a gut feeling that there's going to be a sea change in political control in this country. And I hope when it occurs this time, I hope when the Democrats retake control of both houses, that will be only temporary. And that in the two-year grace period, and in some instances six-year grace period, that real progressive Democrats in the electorate will go to work and challenge every single Democrat in office with a primary challenger, with a few exceptions. Come on, you know, there's a few exceptions. There's a few Democrats who are true Democrats. So let the current incarnation of the Democratic Party reassert itself and take control. And then it's up to real Democrats, progressive Democrats, to spend the next 2 years cutting the dead wood out of the Democratic Party where it concerns our representation in Washington. This has to be done, or it's just going to go right back into the soup. Now, we're going to be faced with monumental problems. A lot of people are making the argument, to hell with this. Let the Republicans have it for the next 20 years, because it's going to be nothing but chaos. Financial chaos, environmental chaos, political chaos, chaos in foreign affairs. That's a good point. That is a good point. But if we do that, then this experiment of self-government is finished. It is over completely. It's gone. That's it. Out the door, down the street, kicked to the curb, gone. So get the Democrats in. That's what we have to do. Get the Democrats in. And then 2 years in 08... bring out the knives. Okay, let's do some phone calls here. And we have about 4 or 5 open lines. So if you want to jump in, now's the time to do it. 866-303-2270. Chris is calling from California. Chris, welcome to the program. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Chris?
Oh, yeah.
All right, go ahead. Let's try. I think you may have to get to a better phone. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on your health insurance comments that you were making.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I'm a physician, and the problem with what Bushy was talking about as far as both supply and demand is healthcare is not a closed system because of how both the insurance companies work, and also because, I mean, it's just a tight closed system. So if you deny person X, you know, a bone marrow transplant, that doesn't mean you have $100,000 to immunize children with, you know, because a lot of that money is either going to go
right
to private pockets, you know, for-profit, you know, insurance companies and such. So it's not like if you deny somebody, it's going to benefit
somebody else,
the greater good.
Right.
And so it's really a misconception on the whole economics, the economics of healthcare in particular, for several reasons, is completely different than the standard economics that, you know, of supply and demand that we're used to hearing about. And that's why what he's talking about simply will not work.
That's true. And Chris, I got a break here. I'd love to have you call me again sometime, when you're on a landline, because it was very difficult to hear you, and you were making some good points. So anyway, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it, Chris.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
I mean... Can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors. And better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Huh, dude, I'm in trouble.
Why?
I haven't done my taxes yet. I don't have an appointment anywhere. I can't figure out the forms for myself. I'm done for.
Whoa, relax.
I'm gonna have to change my name and leave the country.
Just go to TurboTax.com. They have everything you need to get your taxes done quickly.
TurboTax.com?
Yep, you just answer simple questions and it fills in all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Sounds easy.
You can even e-file and get confirmation that the IRS received your return.
Well, that sounds a lot easier than what I was planning.
Learn more at TurboTax.com. Log on and you're done.
Bedtime Lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. Can you imagine if Christiane Amanpour would become the new anchor at CBS? There is a woman who understands the issues, well-traveled, has been in combat zones, free fire zones, truly speaks Farsi, speaks French, speaks English, but I guess she just doesn't have that kind of bubblehead look that is so necessary to attract the male audience. See, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. You know, bring in the boys. You got to have somebody with a certain look. I don't know why I went back to that. Let's go back to the phone calls. I'll tell you why I did, because all day today I've heard about Katie Couric. Just a real sweetheart of a woman. No problem with Katie Couric at all. None whatsoever. Except for this. She's a comedian. She's an entertainer. She's a lifestyle person, and now she's going to be the managing editor of CBS News. Why not Christiane Amanpour, who started with let's not be arrogant here. I started with her. She and I and four other people were on the same writing team in 1983, 84. I can remember we worked the night shift. We get off work at 1:30 in the morning, right after Newsnight Update is what it was called back then. God, 20 years ago. 23 years ago. Unbelievable. Christiane and who else? Susan Lasovich, who is now with the CNN financial end. If you watch CNN during the day, you see Susan come in. And Susan was part of the group. Another woman named Sparkle, who is an excellent writer. And there were some guys. There were about seven of us. And we were assigned to the same writing team. And at 1:30 in the morning, we used to go to a place, a little bar, a restaurant. We'd all get off work and go to this place and have a drink and calm down before we went home. And I can remember Christiane saying, well, you know, writing for CNN is fun, but I want to be a reporter. And I seem to remember everybody at the table kind of snickering and going, well, okay, Christiane, but you don't have the look, sweetheart. You really don't. You know, you got to have a certain look. Well, Christiane went on and did what she has done. So why not Christiane Amanpour as the anchor at, never mind. I'm just kind of free, what do you call it? Free associating here. All right, back to the phones. T is calling from Atlanta. T, welcome to the program. Hey, T.
Hello?
Yeah, T, welcome to the program. Talk to me.
Oh, yes. I was calling originally, I heard you talking about the Cynthia McKinney thing in the original
right.
letter that was released, and right. I appreciate you say thanks for reading that. I mean, no one's going to really get that information just because of how the media is handling it.
Right.
I know that at where I work, I was surprised at, you know, the snap judgment of the reactions from the African-Americans just basically going along with the mainstream notion that, you know, she wasn't wearing her badge and she's probably got an attitude kind of a thing, which not even, you know, paying attention to the whole subtleties of what's been going on in this country for centuries now. But I want to say I'm a little overwhelmed right now. I appreciate you so much. Your voice is so rare, and it's an adrenaline rush, and I'm able to not scream.
Yeah, I know what you mean, T. I don't scream until I get on this program either, because I've got to live out there in the world like everybody else. You know, if I started being what I or demonstrating what I feel inside, I'd probably be arrested. So yeah, that's what the program is for. A lot of people ask me, you don't offer any solutions. I don't have any damn solutions, but I do have the frustration everybody else feels. So yeah, I hear you.
Well, I appreciate you because when I tell people about you and Air America, you know, and Randy Rhodes, I have to work, and if I could, I would try to keep track of all this stuff, and it's just not enough hours in the day, probably not even for someone who does it full time. But you guys do an amazing job, and there's just the right amount of satire, you know, allowing, you know, you can laugh. I mean, it's either laugh or cry for me. I mean, I have to kind of peel away from it sometimes because it's a little overwhelming.
Sure.
I want to ask you about, did you attend the march that was here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was one of the speakers after it all got to Piedmont Park. I was way down the list. I mean, they had the important folks up there first. But, yeah, there must have been, I don't know, about 5,000 people there.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you, because I know that one of the trends is for the law enforcement to use the video cameras. Did you see any videotapes?
Oh, yeah. Well, that always happens. I mean, that always happens, especially with the speakers. They want to know who's who. I remember when I worked in Chicago, I left Atlanta for about 3.5 years, worked at WLS in Chicago, and when Clinton's bombing of Yugoslavia occurred, you know, I felt that was wrong. I felt that NATO was being used in much the same way that our military is being used now. Yugoslavia did not attack any NATO member country. I don't want to get too deep into this, but NATO was formed as a defense organization, and all of a sudden it's being used in an offensive way against Milosevic, who I thought was a filthy son of a bitch. I really did. You know, his own people should have taken him out and beheaded him. But but that doesn't mean that we have to step in and start blowing Yugoslavians to pieces. So, yeah, I was asked to speak at a demonstration at the federal building in downtown Chicago, and I went there, and I could see about five or six the Secret Service people with their video cameras, and it's like, you know, you just want to give them the finger or moon them or just say, fool, don't you think I know who you are standing there with your dumbass camera and your penny loafers and your pressed blue jeans? Give me a break.
Well, what's amazing is, I don't know if you've heard some of the people describing this way of going about getting intelligence, you know, or, you know, protecting the country by videotaping and listening to conversations of American citizens.
Sure,
and
sure.
Someone described it as like, you know, trying to find a needle in the haystack and adding more hay in the haystack.
Yeah, right. Well, look, they want to be able to build dossiers on as many people as possible. They probably have your phone number tapped, T, so be careful, all right?
Oh, of course.
All right, man, I got to go. Thanks for checking in, T. It's good to hear from somebody here in Atlanta. Take care, all right?
It's been an honor. Thank you.
My pleasure. Doug is calling from Memphis. Doug, welcome to the program. Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Who am I talking to?
George Bush.
George Bush.
Yeah, who are you calling, Doug?
Mike Malloy.
You got him. You got to turn your radio down. Are you listening to the radio?
I finally turned it off.
Yeah, that'll mess you up because see, we have a delay, and if you listen to the radio where you're listening to me on the phone, it's like schizophrenia. Okay, we're all set now. What's up, Doug?
I sent you an email, so maybe this is redundant. On this, what's his name? Anthony Figueroa.
Oh, the other Department of Homeland Security guy who was exposing himself to the girl. Yeah, yeah.
That has to be the epitome of a pedophile in charge of your daycare center. You know.
Oh, it's awful. This guy was the head of Operation Predator or something. It was his job to go out and find the people preying on children. Sexually preying on children, and here he's doing it.
Yeah. You know, and I made comment, too, as enraged as I am, it's still so absurd that I catch myself just uproariously laughing sometimes.
I know. It's
almost a manic reaction, I guess, like Tourette syndrome or something.
I hear you. Sometimes if you don't let that insane cackle out, your head will explode. I do the same thing. Some of the worst possible stories that show up just that causes that explosion of derisive laughter where there's nothing else you can do. You know, you have to You have to laugh at these crazy bastards. It's weird. And then you realize what you're laughing at, you know.
Yeah, I touch myself and almost feel guilty.
I know. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you.
You know, I sent you an email the other day in reference to the Tom DeLay thing. Not to make light, because it's important and we're starting to get these people, but for anyone to be out in the streets reveling and imbibing alcohol might be akin metaphorically to someone experiencing the apocalypse and cheering because they killed one of the horsemen.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. There's so many more of these.
Long way to go yet.
Sure. There's a whole list of these filthy Republicans. They all have to be removed legally and peacefully, of course. Doug, thanks. Got to go. We got a break here. Thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
Okay. Take care. I think the kind of laughter too that Doug and I are talking about is sardonic laughter. You know, which is. Who is Sardonicus? There was somebody named Sardon. Oh, well. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
My name's Rachel, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
I'll start drinking in middle school, and I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
It's like earning capital. I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital. I've earned capital in this election, and
Jesus,
I want to spend it.
You deluded freak. After the 2000 election, you earned capital. You half-wit, you lost that election. There's no... Oh, never mind. Why did you play that, Kathy? God, that infuriates me. Doug is calling from Montana. Doug, welcome to the program. Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. Doug?
Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Oh, okay, Mike.
Hey.
Glad to be on.
Yes.
Hey, I just want to tell you, we need to always be careful who we choose as our enemies.
Yeah.
And you've been talking about in medical insurance. And I see the whole damn insurance industry as one big enemy because they traffic in fear and paranoia. That's what they sell, and they stop so many things from happening because nobody can get any liability insurance. So all kinds of great progressive ideas are stopped cold because all they have to offer is fear itself. And you know what FDR said about that.
Right, right. Well, I do.
So if we would go after insurance reform, a lot of these problems, just like having a living wage, would solve so many problems.
Right.
Insurance reform should be at the top of the list.
I agree. A thousand percent or 1,000,000%, I totally agree. The insurance companies have all the money. They have just, like the oil companies, shown massive profits, obscene profits. What did I hear today? And I think it was Susan Lisovich reporting, who said that the insurance industry as a whole has shown profits approaching $50 billion just last year. And I mean,
And what are we going to do with all the insurance agents?
Give them radio talk programs.
Yeah, and teach them macrame or something.
Right.
You know, art and science always leads the way, so let's get them into some art.
That sounds good. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. John is calling from New York. John in New York. Welcome to the program. John?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome to the program. You got to turn down whatever you're listening to. And.
Okay. Yeah, I was just listening to you on the computer, in fact.
I know. It'll screw you up because it's about 20-second delay there.
Okay.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Mike. Well, first of all, thank you so much for what you do and for Air America Radio. It's one of the few things that keeps me sane in these last 5+ years.
Yeah, me too.
You know, what I was saying to the person that screened me, there's basically two things that have just kind of gone beyond their crimes that are so big that it's really hard to know how to deal with them. You talked a little bit about it with, I guess it was Ray Griffith, the author of
Pearl
Harbor.
Right.
The first one is the stealing of the elections, obviously, 2000, and then in a more subtle way and more widespread across the country in 2004. And then the second one, and of course, on that note, about 10 to 20% of the people that we would listen to in some form of media will address that, and you being a part of that small minority.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have 9/11, which, unfortunately, I wish I was completely nuts, but I, like you, just don't believe the story that we've been told, and you're about the only person out here that is willing to discuss that. And
Let me just offer a slight correction. I can't give you the names, but there are several folks now in radio and I don't know about television who are willing to take on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
from your perspective, from the idea that you know, it's a scam. So,
well, I mean, I would love to see a jump. You know, there's a guy like a Keith Olbermann who, you know, as you've said and a lot of people have said, it's actually surprising that he's on MSNBC with sort of the take on things that he's got. If we had somebody like that, you know, that's a little bit more out there in the mass culture, I guess you would say, just, you know, not quite as hidden, that you know, to get people to wake up a little bit and really examine these things, because I guess what I struggle with, and thank God for your expression of outrage on a nightly basis in such a kind of profound and eloquent way that I think helps a lot of folks like me, but it's just really difficult to know how to be in the face of that. It's really difficult to know, you know, to know really what to do in the face of that. And I try to, you know, to keep, on the other hand, an openness that, well, maybe perhaps some of my perceptions about this are not accurate, but certainly there are a number of things here, you know, to sort of quote the website, there's just a number of unanswered questions and or questions that just don't answer honestly and you know, just leave us knowing that we're not getting the full truth. So I just would love to see, you know, again, thank you for you being a voice of examining this in an honest way. I would just love to see more exposure to folks like yourself who are addressing this. And Mark, is it Mark Crispin Miller?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I would love to see him interviewed on Keith Olbermann's show or on a Charlie Rose, you know, but it's like, and that's the one, obviously without that we don't have the other.
Mm-hmm.
And if at least that would be examined. I was listening to Randy Rhodes today, and Susan Sarandon called, and they were talking about the 06 elections. And, you know, and she came back to, and her point to Randy, which I always think, boy, I'm hoping against hope that the Democrats are going to be able to take back at least one House of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But with the black box voting, I mean, how can we trust anything?
Well, that's going to be the key hidden issue coming up this November. You're absolutely right. Hey, listen, I've got to leave it there. We've got a break. So thanks a lot for checking in, John. I appreciate it. All right, take care. We do have a break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's
Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. Jurors in the sentencing trial of 9/11 conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui are expected to hear the cockpit voice recording from Flight 93. That's the plane that crashed into a Pennsylvania field on 9/11. The penalty phase in the Moussaoui case resumes in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia later today. The jurors will decide whether Moussaoui should get the death penalty. A judge has ruled the government can introduce the recordings as evidence. Rain has decreased over California, but flooding worries remain. Officials are double-checking dams, rivers, and creeks in the Sacramento area. Several rivers are just under flood stage. The National Weather Service has extended a small stream and river flood warning for several counties over concerns about runoff. Sacramento and the surrounding areas should get a bit of a break, with no rain in the forecast in the next day or so. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa was among the hundreds who attended Wednesday's special mass held by Cardinal Roger Mahoney. The Cardinal has called for prayer and fasting to support passage of meaningful immigration reform legislation. Villaraigosa said that he was following the Cardinal's request as part of his Catholic belief in social justice.
We believe that we have a responsibility to make the world a more just place, and you fast and pray for the purpose of getting the strength to do what's right.
The Deputy Press Secretary for Homeland Security is being held without bond for allegedly attempting to seduce a minor. Ryan Doyle was arrested after he sent salacious emails to whom he thought was a 14-year-old girl. Undercover police were on the receiving end of the emails in Florida. A defense attorney said Doyle acted because he was depressed over a pair of family tragedies. Former workers from the idle GM plant in Oklahoma City are going through some big changes, with cutbacks taking place. But the company has offered them an early retirement package and buyout options. Career consultant and author Andrea Kay says it provides a new opportunity.
To see if you could, you know, recreate your life, do something new. Look at that thing you've always wanted to do or you've thought about doing, but never felt the push to do it, and now is your little nudge.
Kay says the world is changing, and there really is no thing as a guaranteed job. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
7 past the hour. Welcome back. Tim in Danbury, Connecticut, sent me an email. It says, Mike, Ben Birch at White Rose Society needs only $300 more to close out his fundraiser. I contribute already for his drive. His service is so valuable since it allows me to hear your shows when I miss it. Get people to kick in some bucks. All right, $300, that's all? Okay, what do we need here? We need 30 people to send Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org 10 bucks. Okay, can you do that? Can you do that? The people who download from not just my program, but there are just tons of programs there now that you can download to anywhere you want to go, your iPod, whatever. So go to whiterosesociety.org and kick in a couple of bucks. All right, would you do that? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Our good friend Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Back to your phone calls. Let me see. Who shall we pick now? Matt in Boston. Welcome to the program, Matt.
Well, hi, Mr. Malloy.
Just call me Mike.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wasn't raised that way.
Oh, okay. Well, then call me Mr. Malloy.
All right, Mr. Malloy. Small-time blogger Matt Sandwich here. I've talked to you before, but it's been a while.
Yeah, all right. Well, see, after we've talked once, then we can drop the formalities. You can call me Mike.
All right, then, okay. Mike.
All right.
Getting down to business.
Okay.
All right. You mentioned tonight that the thing we progressives need to do is sweep the Bushies and DeLay cronies out of D.C. and then change things from the inside, and I completely agree. The thing is, I came across a story today that kind of highlights just how hard a fight we're going to have on our hands this fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's from The Hill, perfectly reputable
right.
magazine.
Right.
Pennsylvania representative and Republican Kurt Weldon
mm-hmm.
has gone on the attack against his opponent using sort of the carpetbagger stratagem, saying his opponent is only renting in Pennsylvania but actually has residence in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that makes him a bad guy.
Right.
But the thing is, the reason his opponent, who is a Democrat, obviously, and a retired three-star admiral, Joe Sestak, if that's how you pronounce his name, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, the reason they're not currently residing in Pennsylvania is because last summer their five-year-old daughter was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor.
Jeez.
And they've been keeping her company since then, waiting to see if she would live or if she would die.
Well, I all I can say to that is criminals, liars, fraudsters, thugs, like the Republican Party is, top to bottom, they have had power now for a few years. They will not give up power willingly. They will use any means, any method whatsoever, including attacking somebody because they're trying to spend time with their ill children. Republicans are vile. They are vermin. They will use any trick in the book. Now, the only thing that the American public has going for it, those of us who still believe in constitutional government, the only thing we have going for us is that the Bush crime family and every single member of that crime family, which means every single member of the Republican Party, has screwed this country so badly over the past five, well, for the Republican Party itself, over the past 9 years, has screwed this country so badly that no matter what tactic is employed by these Republicans, that the American public will go to the polls and they'll say, okay, look, I've had enough. And vote these bastards out. Okay, I realize I sound like somebody who smoked too much reefer to expect that the American public would all of a sudden find its sense of moral outrage and do something about it. But one can hope, can't one?
Well, it shows you just how hard a fight we're going to have on our hands this fall.
Well, it will be a hard fight, but I don't necessarily think that we have to make it a hard fight If some of these Democrats who are going to be attacked so viciously, if they would just employ maybe some principles of Tai Chi. Kathy and I both are versed to a certain degree in Tai Chi. We never talk about this, but we've got certificates at home. And that means something. And the principles of Tai Chi to absorb the attack coming towards you and to completely turn it so that very little motion is expended, very little energy is used up, but all of a sudden the attacker is not murdered, the attacker is not all of a sudden doesn't find his ass laying over there and his elbow over there, but all of a sudden the attacker realizes that something profound has happened. And if this could be done, I don't understand why Democrats who know their patriotism is going to be attacked, their military service is going to be attacked, their mothers are going to be attacked, their children are going to be attacked, and they respond in kind. And this is insane to me. It's insane to me.
Well, the Admiral, to his credit, released a pretty prompt response, just saying, you know, wow, how dare you use my daughter's illness as an excuse to attack me. And perhaps unsurprisingly, you can sense the irony, the Pennsylvania representative said, well then, why didn't he use one of our fine Pennsylvania hospitals?
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just hope that the Democrat, the person you talk about, whom I'm not familiar with at all.
I wasn't either until today, to be perfectly fair.
I just hope that the voters in Pennsylvania will realize the filthiness of what Weldon is saying, just the utter filth that's coming out of his mouth. And I hope that the Democratic candidate will just once, not him necessarily, but a Democrat,
right,
just once, will respond in a manner that absorbs, neutralizes, and returns this negativity in a way that makes Mr. Weldon wonder what it was. It just flew by him without realizing it was his own soul.
That's what we're all pulling for. Thanks for your time, Mike.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, Matt. Take care. God, I hate that. Mike is calling from Texas. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike Malloy.
Hey,
we're so happy in Texas now when we heard that Delay is now on the run.
I'm glad too. People in Georgia are happy. People in
I know, everywhere. We should be
everywhere.
Happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I jumped up. I know I did a happy dance and I heard it on your show. It was so funny. Hey, did we hear Molly on air?
No, Molly's sound asleep.
Oh, okay, because I heard a baby crying. I ran to my room, and mine was sleeping fine. I thought maybe it came on the radio.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Molly. We have had nights in here where she gets so deep into the so-called terrible twos that it's just a real chore to continue. But not tonight.
Not tonight. Okay, cool. Hey, well, you know, this is so good because, you know, I was ready to move to Sugarland to vote for Nick Lamson. I was going to do it. I was going to change my address, get a P.O. box, absentee ballot. I was going to go there. Now I don't have to move to Sugar Land. That's the good news.
Right.
So, but anyway, you know, just keep on doing the good stuff, Mike. You know, I think the empire's on the run. The evil empire may be on the run now, and we just keep nipping at their heels and corner them and snuff them out. I don't know. Hopefully.
Well, I hope so. As one of the callers pointed out tonight, and as most of us, of course, know, it's Tom DeLay is just one of the three horsemen of the apocalypse. It was Dick Armey, Tom DeLay,
yeah,
and Newt Gingrich who destroyed decency and honor and morality in the U.S. House of Representatives.
And Armey, they're all corrupt.
Army retired. DeLay is going to go to prison, and Newt has this wild ass idea that he thinks he's going to get elected to something, maybe someday.
A wife in every decade, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The family values guy. Oh, man, they're all corrupt. You know, the corruptikins, that's what I call them.
Well,
they corrupt everything. Everything they touch. They, you know, language, the voting process, the democracy, the Constitution, the money system. It's all corrupt, and that's what they do. They corrupt everything they touch and see.
Well, I hope whoever is elected in Sugar Land, Texas this time is a Democrat. Got to leave it there. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
square. It's coming from the field.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
But it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens.
22 past the hour. Back to the calls. Charles is calling from Connecticut. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. Long time no call.
Well, we've missed you.
Oh, I know you're not telling the truth, but thank you for saying it anyway. First thing about the George invading my state today.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was thinking, oh, it's... Because, you know, I'm Unitarian, and last year they had their convention in Texas, and they asked, you know, are you going? I said, no, it's too close to Crawford.
Mm.
And so George comes to me, and he said, you know, how can I get out of the state in one day?
Mm-hmm.
But it goes to show, you know, the Republican mentality, and this went back really to Reagan, that if you're sick, it means you're poor. And God only gives gold to those that he loves, so if you're sick, who are we to interfere with God's plan?
Right.
But these Democrats who have shown themselves to have the backbone of melted jello. And I could see that. I'm honestly suspecting that, you know, they'll get all the votes. This does not mean, as we've seen in 2000, 2002, 2004, that they don't get the office. They get the vote, but they don't get the office. But supposing Democrats are allowed in,
mm-hmm.
I could see them saying, well, you know, you remember what they did to Bill Clinton. We really don't want to go through that. It's only 2 years. Just as they're falling for the thing, well, Tom DeLay's gone, my goodness. How do we combat this corrupt policy that all Republicans have? And they keep on being given manna from heaven, and they won't eat it. This notion that, well, we have to be polite even though they're not. When you say Republicans are pedophiles, you're not calling them names. You're pointing out a fact.
Yeah, that's
it. That keeps on coming out. And they refuse to stand up. Because in politics, when your enemy is down, you kick him. Caesar knew this. Jesus Christ knew this. When he went to the temple, he didn't say, oh, you know, I wish we would just join hands instead of you doing that with the money.
Yeah, but you know what happened to Caesar and Jesus.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's another thing that they don't seem to understand.
Well, I hear what you say.
You also have to go down that road.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Charles, and I can only hope that the Democrats who are seeking these public offices, whether it is to fill an empty seat, which there aren't very many, or unseat and replace a Republican. I hope these Democrats have a real dedication and fire and strength, and I also hope they will not respond in the usual way when Republicans come to attack them, as Republicans surely will. Charles, let me leave it there. I want to try to get a couple more calls in here as quickly as possible. Thanks a lot, Charles. I appreciate it. John is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, sir.
Excellent. You know, with all due respect to Christiana Mampour, I had you slated for Katie Couric's position.
Not in your worst nightmare, pal.
my best nightmare, man.
Right.
Hey, listen, I stepped in the voting booth last night, you know, since the first time in since November, that fateful night in 04.
Yeah.
So
you were one of the almost 30,000 people who went to the polls in Madison to vote on this war referendum?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's the first time I felt good about things since that night, and it really felt, you know, as a human being, as an American, as a vet, it felt just really powerful to me. So I just want to let the rest of the country know that, and we all know that, you know, I voted for the immediate withdrawal of troops from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what that means. That doesn't mean tomorrow. That means an orderly withdrawal would take 6 months,
mm-hmm.
obviously, and I just want to leave you with Brzezinski's plan. that I heard the other day.
If you can do it in 30 seconds.
Well, Brzezinski said, you know, state some dates while you're standing up the Iraqis, an orderly withdrawal, bring troops from the region, Iranian, Syrian, who cares, man? Bring them into Iraq to set up some stability and set up a donors conference. And then the step beyond that, I think, is our next president at the State of the Union address needs to stand up and get real with this planet. I'll leave you with that, Mike.
All right. Well, that's, I hear you. Well, John, I wish we would have a referendum like that here in Georgia, but the day that happens here in Georgia, they'll be giving drinks of ice water in hell. Thanks, John.
You got to get rid of those Diebold machines first, bro.
Yeah, you got that right. Thanks, John. I appreciate you checking in. Quick break. We'll be back with tonight's reading of 1984. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
That doesn't suffer rivals. They're waving flags and guns and quoting from the Bible. I hate Republicans.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery ShopLink has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-223-7979 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-223-7979. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-223-7979. Offer not available in Nevada.
Okay, here's something to think about. April 15th is around the corner. You only have a few days left to get your taxes done, and you don't even have an appointment at one of those tax prep stores. Don't panic. Log on to TurboTax.com. You just answer simple questions, and TurboTax fills in all the right forms. And when you're done, you can e-file and get confirmation that the IRS received your return. No wonder millions of Americans use TurboTax. And you know what? I bet a lot of them started even later than you.
TurboTax.com. Log on and you're done.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K-9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
We'll be right back.
26 before the hour. We are into that part of 1984 where Winston Smith is reading the book written by Emmanuel Goldstein, which lays out the theory behind the inner party, Big Brother, and the destruction of representative government and its replacement with totalitarianism, dictatorship of a sort that is beyond our imagination. It certainly was not beyond George Orwell's imagination. And Winston is reading the part about the need for Big Brother, for the inner party, to maintain perpetual war. Now, if this doesn't apply to the Bush crime family, I don't know what does. And that's where we're going to pick it up. It does not matter whether the war is actually happening, and since no decisive victory is possible, it does not matter whether the war is going well or badly. All that is needed is that a state of war should exist. The splitting of the intelligence, which the party requires of its members, and which is more easily achieved in an atmosphere of war, is now almost universal. But the higher up the ranks one goes, the more marked it becomes. It is precisely in the inner party that war hysteria and hatred of the enemy are strongest. In his capacity as an administrator, it is often necessary for a member of the inner party to know that this or that item of war news is untruthful. And he may often be aware that the entire war is spurious and is either not happening or is being waged for purposes quite other than the declared ones. But such knowledge is easily neutralized by the technique of doublethink. Meanwhile, no inner party member wavers for an instant in his mystical belief that the war is real and that it is bound to end victoriously, with Oceania the undisputed master of the entire world. All members of the inner party believe in this coming conquest as an article of faith. It is to be achieved either by gradually acquiring power, acquiring more and more territory, and so building up an overwhelming preponderance of power, or by the discovery of some new and unanswerable weapon. The search for new weapons continues unceasingly, and is one of the very few remaining activities in which the inventive or speculative type of mind can find any outlet. In Oceania, at the present day, science, in the old sense, has almost ceased to exist. In Newspeak, there is no word for science. The empirical method of thought, on which all the scientific achievement of the past were founded, is opposed to the most fundamental principles of INGSOC. And even technological progress only happens when its products can in some way be used for the diminution of human liberty. In all the useful arts, the world is either standing still or going backwards. The fields are cultivated with horse plows while books are written by machinery. But in matters of vital importance, meaning in effect war and police espionage, the empirical approach is still encouraged, or at least tolerated. The two aims of the party are to conquer the whole surface of the earth and to extinguish once and for all the possibility of independent thought. There are, therefore, two great problems which the party is concerned to solve. One is how to discover, against his will, what another human being is thinking. And the other is how to kill several hundred million people in a few seconds without giving warning beforehand. Insofar as scientific research still continues, this is its subject matter. The scientist of today is either a mixture of psychologist and inquisitor, studying with real, ordinary minuteness the meaning of facial expressions, gestures, and tones of voice, and testing the truth-producing effects of drugs, shock therapy, hypnosis, and physical torture. Or he is chemist, physicist, or biologist, concerned only with such branches of his special subject as are relevant to the taking of life. In the vast laboratories of the Ministry of Peace, and in the experimental stations hidden in the Brazilian forests or in the Australian desert or on lost islands of the Antarctic, the teams of experts are indefatigably at work. Some are concerned simply with planning the logistics of future wars. Others devise larger and larger rocket bombs, more and more powerful explosives, and more impenetrable armor plating. Others search for new and deadlier gases, or for soluble poisons capable of being produced in such quantities as to destroy the vegetation of whole continents, or the breeds of disease germs immunized against all possible antibodies. Others strive to produce a vehicle that shall bore its way under the soil like a submarine under the water, or an airplane as independent of its base as a sailing ship. Others explore even remoter possibilities, such as focusing the sun's rays through lenses suspended thousands of kilometers away in space, or producing artificial earthquakes and tidal waves by tapping the heat at the Earth's center. But none of these projects ever comes anywhere near realization, and none of the three superstates ever gains a significant lead on the others. What is more remarkable is that all three powers already possess, in the atomic bomb, a weapon far more powerful than any that their present researchers are likely to discover. Although the party, according to its habit, claims the invention for itself, atomic bombs first appeared as early as the 1940s, and were first used on a large scale about 10 years later. At that time, some hundreds of bombs were dropped on industrial centers, chiefly in European Russia, Western Europe, and North America. The effect was to convince the ruling groups of all countries that a few more atomic bombs would mean the end of organized society and hence of their own power. Thereafter, although no formal agreement was ever made or hinted at, no more bombs were dropped. All three powers merely continue to produce atomic bombs and store them up against the decisive opportunity, which they all believe will come sooner or later. And meanwhile, the art of war has remained almost stationary for 30 or 40 years. Helicopters are more used than they were formerly. Bombing planes have been largely superseded by self-propelled projectiles, and the fragile, movable battleship has given way to the almost unsinkable floating fortress. But otherwise, there has been little development. The tank, the submarine, the torpedo, the machine gun, even the rifle and the hand grenade are still in use. And in spite of the endless slaughters reported in the press and on the telescreen, the desperate battles of earlier wars, in which hundreds of thousands or even millions of men were often killed in a few weeks, have never been repeated. None of the three superstates ever attempts any maneuver which involves the risk of serious defeat. When any large operation is undertaken, it is usually a surprise attack against an ally. The strategy that all three powers are following, or pretend to themselves that they are following, is the same. The plan is, by the combination of fighting, bargaining, and well-timed strokes of treachery, to acquire a ring of bases completely encircling one or other of the rival states, and then to sign a pact of friendship with that rival and remain on peaceful terms for so many years as to lull suspicions to sleep. During this time, rockets loaded with atomic bombs can be assembled at all the strategic spots. Finally, they will all be fired simultaneously, with effects so devastating as to make retaliation impossible. It will then be time to sign a pact of friendship with the remaining world power in preparation for another attack. This scheme, it is hardly necessary to say, is a mere daydream, impossible of realization. Moreover, no fighting ever occurs except in the disputed areas around the equator and the pole. No invasion of enemy territory is ever undertaken. This explains the fact that in some places the frontiers between the superstates are arbitrary. Eurasia, for example, could easily conquer the British Isles, which are geographically part of Europe. Or on the other hand, it would be possible for Oceania to push its frontiers to the Rhine or even to the Vistula. But this would violate the principle, followed on all sides, though never formulated, of cultural integrity. If Oceania were to conquer the areas that used once to be known as France and Germany, it would be necessary either to exterminate the inhabitants, a task of great physical difficulty, or to assimilate a population of about 100 million people who, so far as technical development goes, are roughly on the oceanic level. The problem is the same for all three superstates. It is absolutely necessary to their structure that there should be no contact with foreigners, except to a limited extent with war prisoners and colored slaves. Even the official ally of the moment is always regarded with the darkest suspicion. war prisoners apart. The average citizen of Oceania never sets eyes on a citizen of either Eurasia or East Asia, and he is forbidden the knowledge of foreign languages. If he were allowed contact with foreigners, he would discover that they are creatures similar to himself, and that most of what he has been told about them is lies. The sealed world in which he lives would be broken, and the fear, hatred, and self-righteousness on which his morale depends might evaporate. It is therefore realized on all sides that however often Persia or Egypt or Java or Ceylon may change hands, the main frontiers must never be crossed by anything except bombs. Under this lies a fact never mentioned aloud, but tacitly understood and acted upon, namely, that the conditions of life in all three superstates are very much the same. In Oceania, the prevailing philosophy is called Ingsoc. In Eurasia, it is called Neo-Bolshevism. And in East Asia, it is called by a Chinese name usually translated as death worship, but better perhaps rendered as obliteration of the self.
Guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, Justin Yuen, Jason Isaac, D. Neal, in New York, our two engineers and associate producer. Also Chris in Minnesota, Ben Birch, White Rose Society, Jim in Arkansas. White Rose Society is just finishing up a fundraiser. Just need a few, just change. So go to whiterosesociety.org and make a contribution, okay? Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Back to the calls here. Robert is calling from Miami. Robert, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I saw an interview of Cynthia McKinney by Soledad O'Brien today. It was pretty incredible how Soledad O'Brien repeatedly, like five or six times, badgered her to give the exact account of what happened, which, of course, Cynthia McKinney doesn't want to do because they're trying to charge her with this incident where Cynthia McKinney supposedly hit this big security guard in the chest with a little 4-ounce cell phone, and, you know, it was injured so badly that they have to have a grand jury convene. You know, even if it was true, it's such a horrible, you know, with all the things going on in Washington, D.C. now, they need a grand jury for this and make a big incident out of it. And Soledad O'Brien was just badging her. Why won't you tell? Why won't you say what happened to you and all this? And she wanted to give her story. And any other congressman who goes on there who voted for the war in Iraq or anything else, that resulted in actual people dying, you know, not some little dent on some guy's chest for 10 seconds, if it happened. Mm-hmm. The question's been oh so politely, oh so, you know, nicely. And
offense to Soledad O'Brien. She understands her job.
Yeah.
She is paid by AOL Time Warner, or
right.
Time Warner, that now, you know, that has owned CNN for a long time, to do just that. Soledad O'Brien is not there, as none of these so-called anchors or newsreaders are there, to discover truth or to inform the public. They're there to serve a function for the corporation that owns them. Now, having said that, I have got to question Cynthia McKinney's motives for going on a cheesy program like CNN's AM program to begin with. I would think at this point that Cynthia McKinney has made her statements, and I totally support what her point of view is. I don't give a tinker's damn what rationale this Capitol Hill cop has for grabbing her. But at this point, I truly believe that Cynthia McKinney ought to not even go near a television studio. If she thinks she's going to get a fair shake, what she's going to get is harassed and kicked and stomped and her hair pulled and her eyes gouged out. So she ought to just walk away from it.
Mike, my theory as to why these people who we used to think before 5 years ago were kind of on the other side from the Republicans, kind of at least, why they've switched, my theory is because they've gotten an average of, I just saw this on the internet today, the average person earning more than $10 million in the U.S. got a $1 million tax cut because of Bush, and I think that was part of the rationale for the tax cuts, because these super high-paid journalists, such as, you know, the new one, Katie Couric, is going to get $15 million a year now, that was reported today. They're making so much money off these tax cuts for the rich that they say, well, I used to have my principles, but man, I'm getting $1 million a year. That's $5 million in 5 years, and I don't even know if they consciously realize that they've sold out. They literally have sold out for that.
Well, we don't have something generically referred to as news media in this country anymore. Anyway, we have a few pockets of journalistic integrity that are still operating, but they have become such a tiny, tiny minority. The massive majority of news reporting, and I put quotes around those two words, is nothing but infotainment. It's jive-ass nonsense. It is designed to make you forget or make you watch a car chase somewhere on I-15 in California. Or make you pay attention to missing white women or white men who have fallen off of cruise ships.
I'll never forget during the 2004 campaign, speaking of Katie Couric, Matt Lauer interviewed Kitty Kelly supposedly about her book about the Bush dynasty, which she had all sourced perfectly, all these incredible facts about what the Bush dynasty has done over the years. Instead of discussing that, Matt Lauer attacked her. How dare she write a book against the Bushes in an election season. Isn't this political? And her response was, hey, it's an election year. If not now, when?
Yeah.
If not now, when? And that was his theory that, well, hey, wait until after the election to write a book like this. How dare you write against the Bush? Because this is supposed to be objective journalism. And this is what I've been seeing for years. And I just sometimes it still amazes me how, you know, how could his popularity rating be 37% with all he's done? But now you know why.
I know. Robert, let me leave it there. Thanks.
Yes.
I do. All right, you too. I do appreciate you checking in. Matt Lauer, really, I mean, I just have to say it. He reminds me of a Chihuahua for some reason. His attack mode is not German Shepherd or Pitbull, although he'd like to see himself that way. I've seen Matt Lauer try to chew on somebody's pant leg when he thinks he's being an aggressive journalist. He's coming across as a Chihuahua. He you know, just a Yo Quiero Taco Bell kind of Chihuahua. Just it's sad. And again, I say these things, these ad hominem attacks against these people because they are charged with informing us. They are charged, at least that's the way journalism is supposed to be. That's the function of it. That's the purpose of it. And I think so many people who are in television or radio news or whatever today, at one point in their careers or in their training, they knew that. They knew that their job was to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And they have become nothing but a huge collection of street whores. And they disgust me. They all disgust me. That's all. That's the bottom line. Thanks for participating tonight. I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. In the meantime, take care. Watch your back, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors. And better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.